Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity and privilege to meet together once again to worship you by our full attention to your word, by our going to you in prayer with hearts lifted up to ask you the things that we need and to rejoice that you are our loving Heavenly Father. I pray now, Father, that you would guide us as we study your word. I pray for those who perhaps are trying to still reach a prayer meeting. I pray that you would enable them to do so they won't miss out on the study of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. As you're aware, we've been pursuing a series of short messages on prayer, which I entitled When God Says No. We've already seen in the previous two messages in the series that God answers no to prayers for death and answers no to selfish requests. And this evening, we're going to see God answers no to the prayers of one who harbors sin in their life. As we read in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That word hear there has the idea of hearken or listen to and answer. So he will not listen to or answer. Hey, notice with me several examples of prayers that God did not answer or to which he answered no because of unrecognized or unconfessed sin. And by I say did not answer, when there's no answer, that really means no, okay? Or could be mean wait, depending on the context. But what we're going to study are those where God did not answer, but it meant no, okay? Would you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 37? 1 Samuel chapter 14, sorry, 1 Samuel 14, verse 37. Here, King Saul prayed for guidance, but God did not answer him. 1 Samuel 14, 37, Saul inquired of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into the hand of Israel?" But he did not answer him on that day. To give you the context of this verse, Saul had pronounced a curse on any of his army who ate before evening. How many remember that incident? Okay. Jonathan, his son, unaware of his father's curse, had eaten some honey. God is not amused by hasty vows made to him in order to get God to do something. It is the sin of presumption and taking his name in vain. So notice with me a second example of a prayer that God did not answer because of an individual sin or a pattern of sin. Near the end of his life, King Saul again prayed for help and guidance. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 28, 1 Samuel 28, verses 6 and 7. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. When Saul said to his servants, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her," and his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." Saul had backslidden by this time so far from God that he no longer God didn't answer any of Saul's prayers. His backslidden condition hit rock bottom when Saul then sought an answer through a medium. A medium, as you know, is one who claims to communicate with the dead, but is actually communicating with demons who impersonate dead individuals. Whether or not Saul was ever saved is a question that will have to wait for a future message. But at the very least, it is a solemn warning to those who have had the great privilege of hearing the gospel and who at least make an outward profession of trust in Christ, and yet who are not living for the Lord and deceive themselves that they are simply backslidden, when in fact it is more likely that they have never been born again. Notice with me a third example of a prayer that God did not answer because of an individual sin or a pattern of sins. And here, this individual is very definitely saved. He was a man after God's own heart. And so we know that. So this can happen to saved individuals. David prayed for the life of his infant son. God's answer was no. The son died because of David's sin with Bathsheba. And let's read this account in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to let you find that because we're going to read about 10 or 11 verses here. So 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 13 through 23. Then David said to Nathan, who was a prophet, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die." So Nathan went to his house. Then the Lord struck the child that Uriah's widow bore to David, so that he was very sick. David therefore inquired of God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him in order to raise him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat food with them. Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to our voice. How then can we tell him that the child is dead, since he might do himself harm?" But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David perceived that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live.' But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." An important lesson in this for us is this: even though God forgives sin when we confess it and forsake it, as David had just done, yet sin still has its consequences. And this prayer was not answered, possibly because David needed this lesson to change his heart permanently. By the way, do not get the wrong impression that God punished David's infant son for the sin of his father. This infant escaped all the trials and temptations of this life and went straight to be with the Lord. That is certainly no punishment. The last statement in verse 23 also gives me and other pastors confidence to assure grieving parents who have lost a baby that their baby is in heaven. David's statement, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me," indicates that David, who was a saved man, the Bible's very clear about that, would go to his son. In other words, would join him in heaven. Putting that clue together with the statement in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, that gives me assurance that to conclude that God gives a home in heaven to all those who die before they reach the age where they are able to make the choice to accept or reject Christ as Savior, and that he does the same for all those who are so severely mentally challenged that they too are incapable of making the choice to accept or reject Christ as Savior. By the way, don't discount the ability of even mentally challenged individuals to make that choice to accept Christ. I've seen that happen, and what a blessing for that. So notice with me a fourth example of a prayer that God did not answer because of an individual sin or a pattern of sins. We're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 21 here for this. Jeremiah 21. King Zedekiah prayed for help in defeating Nebuchadnezzar. So God answered no. He would not help because of the many sins of Israel. So Jeremiah 21, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Malchijah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, saying, please inquire of the Lord on our behalf, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is warring against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful acts, so that the enemy will withdraw from us. Then Jeremiah said to them, you shall say to Zedekiah as follows, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am about to turn back the weapons of war which are in your hands, with which you are warring against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the wall, and I will gather them into the center of this city. I myself will war against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, even in anger and wrath and great indignation. I will also strike down the inhabitants of the city, both man and beast. They will die of a great pestilence. Then afterwards, declares the Lord, I will give over Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people, even those who survive in the city from the pestilence, the sword and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their foes, and into the hand of those who seek their lives. And he will strike them down with the edge of the sword. He will not spare them, nor have pity, nor compassion. Although this is not the focus of this example, I do want to point out that God's declaration of coming judgment on King Zedekiah and the rest of Israel for their sins was not necessarily final. From other examples in the Old Testament, God is willing to relent when God's people repent. Having seen these four examples of God saying no to a prayer, when there is unconfessed and unforsaken sin in the life of the one praying, how does this principle of unconfessed sin hindering prayer apply to you and to me? God states repeatedly that he does not answer the prayers of those who are refusing to confess and forsake their sin. We read Psalm 66, verse 18 at the beginning of this message. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And then Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The obvious solution to this is to confess and forsake every sin in your life. One of the first steps I take when it seems that the Lord is not answering my prayers is to ask him to search my heart, to show me whether or not there's a sin I'm not dealing with. We as simple human beings have a great capacity to downplay or ignore what we don't want to deal with, and failing that, to rationalize away our sin. Rationalizing away our sin gets easier and easier to do as the world's standards of right and wrong get progressively worse. And as the vast majority of professing Christians seem to follow the same downward path. Oh, how we need to pray as the psalmist did in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. If the Lord does not bring any unconfessed sin to my attention after honestly and earnestly desiring him to show me, then I assume either that I need to research more thoroughly to find out whether I might be asking for something that's not according to God's will for me, or that it is not the right time for God to answer that prayer request. However, if God does show me that I have unconfessed sin in my life, then the next step to take care of that sin is to confess it to him. In other words, call it what he calls it. and forsake it by his grace. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 tell us this: if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I cannot close this message without warning you not to evaluate your spiritual condition by whether or not God seems to be answering your prayers. God sometimes answers the prayers of unsaved individuals in order to accomplish his good purpose. By the same token, God may also seem to answer the prayer of a Christian who's harboring sin in his life. That unrepentant sinning brother should not then assume that God is okay with his sin. His sin has already been evaluated, described, and condemned in God's word. Don't ever evaluate your actions or spiritual condition by seeming results. You will often deceive yourself. By the way, in Israel, they often deceive themselves because God's judgment was delayed. And so, since they didn't get judged right away as soon as they sinned, they shrugged their shoulders, thought it was okay, God was okay with it, instead of remembering what God said in his word. So the same thing we need to do is to remember what God says. Don't go by seeming results. It could very well be that a Christian who is right with God has been asking for the same request that the sinning brother is asking for, and God is simply answering the believer who is right with him, not the unrepentant one. The point is this: get right with God and stay right with God. And if you seem to find your prayers unanswered, your first step should be to ask God to reveal to you whether or not there is unconfessed sin in your life, because God often answers no to those who ask for something when there is sin in their lives. By the way, you might be asking for something good, but yet God will still say no in order to get your attention. God does that out of his mercy even before he begins to discipline, because unanswered prayer seems to be the most effective way to get our attention, isn't it? So I trust that God will use that to encourage our hearts to just make sure that we have no unconfessed, unforsaken sin in our lives. By the way, I hope that you will do that for another reason, because the messages that are coming up from Evangelist John Van Gelderen, you will benefit from it the most if your heart's already prepared, if your heart's cleansed, and you come with a desire to take in everything that God has for you. You might be able to make some great strides in your Christian growth as a result of responding to what God speaks to your heart through the evangelist. So I encourage you to take time to make sure that your heart is cleansed and ready to take in whatever God is going to show you through the evangelist starting this Sunday. I hope that you are inviting others. There are still lots of invitations there on the back table, and encourage you to take whatever you believe that you can give out, and let that be a way to remind somebody of their need for Christ, even if they never come. The back of the invitation has a quick gospel tract, so I encourage you to do that. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for just reminding us tonight through your word that oftentimes you answer no when there is unconfessed and unforsaken sin in our lives. I pray, Father, that we'd be sensitive to this, that we would go first to that possibility when we find our prayers not answered. Again, we realize that your answer may be no for other reasons. But Lord, may we check here first so that we can have a right relationship with you, unbroken and continuous in our lives. I pray that you would guide and direct now as we share prayer requests and then go to prayer and then practice the music for the upcoming meetings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.